Hi, I'm magician Nelson Lugo.
Hi, I'm nerdcore rapper Shafa the Dark Lord.
We're best friends
who hate each other's guts.
And we co-host The Epic Podcast,
a monthly show in which we discuss comic books,
video games,
television,
movies,
our debilitating emotional problems,
and Batman.
So much Batman.
That's The Epic Podcast
on the Nerdy Show Podcast Network.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Seriously, so much Batman.
The following program is presented by The Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 134. I am your stupid awesome analyst, John Starr. With me is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hi, I've been told I am the Evan of this episode.
Well, that's fine because we also have our King Baby Duck Evan with us as well.
And his good buddy, Airhorn Song.
Don't use soundboards!
DJ Khaled!
And we have Elite Four Derek.
Hi, I'm here too.
I have just shut off the soundboard, just for your sake.
Yay, good. Oh, no. It's Conma!
Finally did it, you guys. We did it.
High fives. Homeschool high fives everywhere, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was my face, jerk.
Oh. That Conma shout ruined my throat.
I'm getting old.
Okay, so...
Sit in the back of the bus, Grandpa.
My knees can't take it all the way to the back of the bus. I have to sit at the front.
It's our most favorite time of year ever. It's Con Month. It's the month... Con Month always takes place the month before Anime Boston, which is our number one event of the entire year.
Which means it's one month to Anime Boston. What?
Awesome. Yep. What?
Yes.
What?
So, we celebrate the month of March... with Con Month, all things conventions and con based. So we do that leading up to Anime Boston, and then we talk about Anime Boston on the last episode of Con Month to talk about our experience there. Now, Anime Boston has been announcing a whole slew of announcements, including their guests and all the stuff that is going to be happening there. Andrew and I have gotten word that we will be doing our waifu panel again, and we are also going to be doing the hardcore anime panel.
We are on the wait list for Who Cringe Last.
Yeah, but with our luck last year where we finally got it,
yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that we get to do it again. It's going to be different this year. Our test run was the first time that we did it last year. And this
which was,
year,
what, like a 4 years what we had that?
Yeah, in development.
In development.
And then we finally got to run it, and it went super well. But we have a way to make it run even better now, I think. So look,
we just have to
that.
Finish it first.
Mm-hmm. We do. We do need to finish it first. But there have also been a slew of guests announced for Anime Boston, which has been very surprising because none of them are, like, known. Well, there's a lot of them that are well-known.
Right, we
like,
got the Monica Rials and yeah. J. Michael Tatum and his boyfriend, Brandon McGinnis.
Yeah, which, I mean, like, I only know him as J. Michael Tatum's boyfriend, not anything else.
Yeah, he plays Keita in Gamers.
Yeah, right. But yeah, other than that, it was like, wow, this is like a newbie cast. Like, all North American guests especially are like...
Which isn't bad because you know we normally get like some of the same crew once in a while, but this is like the first time where I feel like we actually have some fresh blood here.
Yep. Yeah, and they haven't announced what the premiere is or anything like that yet. Hopefully, we'll get to find that out soon.
Please be Mutafuckers. That would be so awesome if they screened that.
I'm hoping it's Fooly Cooly too.
The theme is space, so
yeah, the theme, yeah. This theme is space. So
I remember that one. I was there last year. Ha.
And We're still waiting on whether or not we're going to be press too. So
fingers yeah, but we that. Always we always get that one late.
Yeah, it's not until March when we hear that.
Yeah, I just thought it was really great last night when me and Jonathan were working on the hardcore anime panel for a little bit. I was playing Monster Hunter and I was hunting with, you know, Big Bad Shadow Man and Tempsu and a few other people who are familiar with Wicked Anime. And Jonathan was there working on the hardcore anime panel and doing some card stuff. And, you know, I was looking back behind him and I was just like, oh, what about, you know, that clip where, you know, he gets his head twisted off and as well. And everybody over the microphone was just like, you guys are setting up for the hardcore anime panel, aren't you? And they're like, yep, that's exactly what we're doing. Like, yeah. So it's pretty funny that our fans, and these are all fans who, I think Tempsu's the only one of our fans who's actually been there to see it, minus the people who are from Boston. You know,
right.
Shout out to Ian Anderson, who gave us Newsbelchon and stuff, like who was there.
And they also have musical guests. They have a lot of musical guests this year.
Yep, they have Asuka, who currently does the opening theme for Laid Back Camp, and who did the end theme for A Centaur's Life. Uh-huh. She's very talented. I think she's got a great voice. I'm looking forward to seeing her performance.
Yeah, and then also the one that's making all of the Narutards go crazy is Flo is going to be there.
Yes, Flo. Mm. Well, oh, man. Narutards, the Code Geeks.
Yeah. Or man, I'm so excited about that.
Whatever you want to call them. Well, they currently do the theme song for the new season of Seven Deadly Sins.
Oh, okay.
The good show. I'm talking about Seven Mortal Sins. That's
a fucking person was Naruto.
A lot of really good concerts to go to as well.
Believe it.
So we're going to move on from Anime Boston for a little bit. When we have more to tell you about it, then we're going to update you on that for our next episode of Con Month. But for now, it's time to ring the news bell. Let's get into our first piece of news. Well, actually, a lot of our news is like a lot of anime announcements and everything like that we're going to be looking forward to in later seasons and everything like.
Yes.
So I'll start with mine. I only have one. Evan has the bulk of the news. So I'll just get mine out of the way real quick, which I posted on the Wicked Anime Facebook page this morning, which was a trailer was dropped for the Fist of the North Star prequel, Fist of the Blue Sky, which looks awesome. So I read Fist of the Blue Sky a long time ago.
Is it by the same guy who created Fist of the North Star?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know sometimes people create prequels that are approved by the original creator.
Yeah. So it takes place in 1930X Shanghai.
Where the gangsters are roaming about. Yeah. See? Yeah.
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 All right. What are you laughing at, Derek?
I'm just getting flashbacks from Homestar Runner. 20XD6!
Yeah. So the entire show is in 3D. And at first glance, that's an off-putting thing for any anime fan because there's no 3D that you want to come out of Japan. Except now we have things like Land of the Lustrous, which prove that there could be some really good 3D. And it looks like this one is going to follow in those same footsteps. It looks great, and it looks violent. It looks like Fist of the North Star, but in 3D. So I'm looking forward to it. I think that we could get something really good out of it.
I hope so, too. It might actually be getting Amazon Prime because of this show.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They already announced that's going to be on Amazon Prime. I don't know when the release date for it is exactly, mm-hmm. because the entire trailer was still in Japanese.
Right, so. Right. I heard it's a spring release, actually. I think it's supposed to be either April or May when it's coming out.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
But I might be getting Amazon Prime mainly for that. And I heard rumors that Dropkick on My Devil, the show that we talked about last episode, is supposedly going to be an Amazon exclusive.
All right. Well, that's what I was going to say, that's not a rumor. I mean, in the trailer itself, like when they released the trailer, it said this is an Amazon exclusive, even for Japan. You know, like that was the Japanese ad that said that. So it was kind of interesting.
Huh.
There are some Amazon exclusive stuff that's over there in Japan too. There was this Crayon Shin-Chan spinoff that they did of like an alternate universe Shin-Chan where it was like a mystery sort of thing that was an Amazon exclusive. There's a couple other ones that were exclusive that I can't remember off the top of my head, but they were made exclusively for them.
It's interesting because when I was in Japan, there's no Crunchyroll in Japan. You know, because as I traveled over through different countries, my internet would pick up where I was. So, you know, Taiwan, I would have less anime, and then I'd keep going, and I get less and less anime until I actually hit Japan, where I had no anime in my Crunchyroll queue, because there was nothing available. Every single anime in Japan is on Netflix. So, every time something gets released in Japan on television, it goes straight to Netflix on the same day, I believe. And then I guess now Amazon in Japan is sharing that load. So you get anime that shows up on Amazon and anime that shows up in Netflix, which is pretty cool.
Evan, what else are they releasing?
Well, some big news for fans of the goddess Hestia, as they announced both a second season and an original movie of Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Six seasons and a movie.
Yeah!
So far,
it's two seasons, a spinoff, and a movie.
Yeah. I love Hestia's new costume design. She does not look like a hobo anymore.
She looks like a fancy hobo.
Yeah, right. Still got that boob ribbon, though.
Yeah, well, it's not her without the boob ribbon.
That's what makes her her, which is weird in its own right. But, it's kind of almost like that she's reached a higher level of goddess with her costume design because she's got, like, this fancy...
She's actually got her family now, too. So, like, she's developing as her family's developing, too.
That is true.
Yeah.
They got the Traveler, they got the Forger, and then, of course, they got Belle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited about this because I've always felt like, as people know, the shorter version of it in Japan is the easier way for us to say it is Danmachi.
In Japan.
But I'm very excited because I've always felt like Danmachi has always been overshadowed by the always supremely inferior Sword Art Online when it comes to character development and the like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will take Belle Crandall over someone as half-assed as Kirito.
So I'm looking forward to that, especially because I don't know what it is. Like, that seems a lot more appealing to me than Sword Art or Toriyo was. I don't know.
Well, like Sword Art or Toriyo. It had its moments. I do plan to add it to my collection, but we all know that we tuned into Danmachi because of Belle and Hestia.
Because of boob ribbons.
No, I tuned in because of dark skinned Amazon girls.
Well, that's the thing. That's what made Sword Oratoria good, was Tiona and Tione.
Yeah, that was probably the only thing that made it good, too.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, it was highly, highly, highly etchy. Like, it was a lot more so than the original series was. It was basically like they made a spinoff season with Sword Oratoria just to make more fanservice-y stuff happen. I still watched it and I still enjoyed it to a certain extent, but it's not like it was deep on any level.
Oh, you know? No, it wasn't. No, because if they want the deeper stuff, that's why Belle has his storyline. I feel like Aiz is like the sub-story where the more that they are journeying together, the more closer that they're going to get.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is if I had to choose a family, I would definitely be choosing the Loki family.
Really? I'd go with Hestia family.
Well, I guess, but, you know, I don't know. There's something about the Loki family that's a little bit more cohesive and a lot better. That's kind of one of the things that it was kind of the dilemma of the series, which was, you know, oh, this is a really big family and we have a lot of stuff going on and we do more important things than these smaller families. And then, you have Hestia's family, who's really small, mostly for the that whole season was just Belle. So it was an interesting dynamic. You got to see what it was like to be in a big family as opposed to a small, minuscule family with a lesser god. But I don't know. I liked it.
There was another anime that was announced,
which I'm actually really surprised is getting a second
very,
season.
Very, very surprised.
But I'm very happy nonetheless. We're probably going to be getting a second season of Erotama.
Which,
you know,
is out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's just like, how could you possibly...
Well, she still hasn't earned her god status or her zodiac status.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody was like, so what?
It's true.
And it's really shocking when, you know, you learn the truth that there almost wasn't a second season of New Game. You know, like, as popular as New Game was, there was just this feeling of, how come all these good shows get canceled and never get a second season? And New Game was one of those where it was really, really liked by audiences overseas, where we didn't really get a response to what it was like in Japan.
Yeah, it was kind of like how Kenja was over here.
Well, and everybody was like just indifferent to it, and then but people over here were just like, I can't believe we're not getting a second season of New Game. And then we do get a second season of New Game, and everybody's shocked because, oh my gosh, we're getting a second season of New Game because we all really liked it and we really wanted it. And then second season of Edotama is like, yeah, that first season was really fun to watch, and I really enjoyed it personally.
Me too.
And then we get a second season, and we're like, okay, I guess so, you know?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm game for more of this.
Yeah, I'll watch more of it, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I don't know. I don't know really where else they can go with it, but it'll be fun, I guess.
One thing I do know is we don't get Motan, so I'm not about that.
You don't get what?
Motan.
We don't get Motan.
No, remember Motan comes back at the end. She's just really small now.
I don't remember that.
That's yeah, how much at the end you see Nyatan and Motan together going on a new journey, and Motan's riding on her head.
Oh. Okay.
when the Zodiacs die, they become reincarnated, but when they reincarnate, they start out really small. Well, the specific way that Motan had to be reincarnated, because there was a running gag where it was a Zochan, the horse chan, that would always die but would come back.
I don't remember.
The Kenny of the anime.
Yeah. Yes. All right, what else you got, Evan?
So we've got release news.
Uh-huh, yep.
So first and foremost, some an anime series that a lot of people have been waiting for a home video release is coming this summer, which is ReZero. It's being dubbed. It's getting the release this summer. The first half is going to be released then. I think the second half will probably be released either later in the fall or early winter.
Yeah. That's a show that I really liked when I was watching it, but then when it was done, I don't really care about watching it anymore. So I don't know if I would add that to my collection because I'm like so, especially towards the end of that series, I was so done with that show. Like the first couple episodes were great, and then the next couple episodes came along and it was just like, oh, this is a chore.
Let's be honest. The reason why you add that to your collection is so you can get Rem.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Rem is best girl. Well, and she was the best girl according to the internet. There were a lot of best girls when that game was when that anime was released.
Yeah, a lot of good anime girls that year. But the internet wanted Rem.
All right. Well, how about this for release news? Apparently, G-Kids has the license for Mirai of the Future, which is the new film from Mamoru Hosoda.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which what did the other movies come out on?
Funimation.
Funimation released it, and now G-Kids has it?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder what brought that move on.
Well, I know Funimation's going to probably assist with the promoting of it, but I'm hoping with someone like G-Kids, it gives it a better chance in the award circle, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking more that having it through G-Kids will get it faster.
That too. Although Boy and the Beast did come to us really quickly through Funimation.
Much quicker than Wolf Children did, that's for sure.
Much
we didn't get Wolf Children until like a year later.
Like, I think within the first 3 months of the release of Boy and the Beast in Japan, we got that movie here.
It was like a typical release for DVDs. Yeah. So that's cool.
All right, that's it for like release news, but there is some interesting stuff regarding one of the biggest movies of the year thus far, which is Black Panther. And apparently, Michael B. Jordan's character, Killmonger, his costume was apparently inspired by Vegeta.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you see the side-by-side images, like, the internet has been absolutely...
Oh my god, yes, it's perfect.
The absolute, like, blow up over the internet of once they discovered this. They're like, wait a minute, Michael B. Jordan's an anime nerd? That's awesome!
Yeah. Because, and he is. It's great. It's
I am cool. The Prince of all Saiyans! That's my horrible African accent.
I thought you were going for Vegeta.
No, he would be more, I'm the Prince of all Saiyans!
That was
I am the Prince of Saiyans! I'm sorry, I'm not Christopher Sabat.
Did anybody see Black Panther?
I am in the process of seeing it. Hopefully by the time this episode airs, I will have seen it. So I'm just going to assume it is awesome.
In the process of seeing it. We are sitting in a movie theater right now. It's playing. We're ignoring it to make the podcast.
Everybody around us looks pissed.
Stop throwing your popcorn at me, you asshole.
I'm not shutting it off. It's not a phone.
I don't have any interest in seeing it. And it's not because I'm a racist. It's because
it's in addition to that.
It's just like another Marvel movie, and I'm just kind of sick of Marvel movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Marvel movie in forever.
So like everybody says that this is, you know, one of the best Marvel movies ever, and I don't know if that's politically charged or not. Like, are we gonna be talking about this in 30 years? Probably not. But you know, the
what
last
superhero movie do we really talk about that happened 30 years ago?
Yeah. Well, but that's what they're saying is like, this is going to change cinema history. And we're like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever.
Look
but,
how Wonder Woman did. Oh, wait, no.
You know, the last Marvel movie I saw was Thor Ragnarok. And where everybody
which was so
like,
good.
Yeah, which everybody was like, oh, you know, that was an okay movie. It got okay ratings. You know, people didn't really like it. But me personally, I loved it.
Me
because
too.
Because it didn't feel like another Marvel movie. Like, because I'm so sick of the Marvel movie just like, oh my gosh, there's a superhero, and now there's a bad guy, and oh, now they're fighting, and the movie's over.
Yeah.
And like, it's the same Marvel movie over and over and over and over again. And Thor Ragnarok was awesome because it was just a comedy film. And everybody was, like, whining about that. Like, it's a comedy film. I didn't like it because I wanted Thor and I wanted action. I was like, shut up. It was different. It was great. You know, so I loved Thor Ragnarok. And I'm just wondering, like, where does Black Panther fit into that mold of being different from Marvel movies?
So what I've been thinking is you're totally right on the comedy part. But it seems like recently a lot of the different Marvel movies have each tried to have their own kind of theme. Where you go for, like, nostalgia with Guardians of the Galaxy. You go for humor with Thor Ragnarok. I'm thinking you're going politics with Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for when it was released and, you know, the world we're living in right now. But
right.
They talk a lot about politics in that movie as well.
Yeah, well, it's always been a politically charged comic. Yeah. I remember when Jack Kirby once got a complaint sent to him that there weren't enough white people in Black Panther. So his response was, have Black Panther kick the crap out of the KKK in the next issue.
Yeah, that's like, incredible.
Like, Doctor Strange will be, like, your visual eye candy movie. That's the one that focused on effects. So they each kind of are trying
that's
to
your
do
drug
their own
trip
little
movie.
Theme.
Yeah. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy was to reach out to the Dungeons & Dragons crowd.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That soundtrack. I love their soundtrack.
Me too.
I'm so sick of the soundtrack.
I think Guardians of the Galaxy 1 was the last Marvel movie that I saw. I just have no interest in Marvel movies at all, that, like, I'm done with all
actually,
Marvel movies.
I loved Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I know Nerdy Show as a whole, like, their discussion was it wasn't that good, but I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and I was like, this is freaking awesome. Like,
it was great as well.
It was so much better than I thought it was going to be, and I loved it.
I was about Mantis to say...
Mantis is best girl.
Yeah, I was about to say, despite Baby Groot...
Yes, despite Baby Groot, because Baby Groot was the worst part of the movie, because he was just strictly fan service, and they didn't hide it at all, and he was really annoying.
Hold up a Baby Groot pop saying, you can buy this for $10?
he may as well have, like, he even had, like, a dancing, like, the whole opening of the movie was Baby Groot dancing to music, and you're just like, okay, we
Mr.
get it,
Blue
Baby
Sky
Groot danced at the last 5 minutes of the movie, and it was just annoying.
So I also don't know if I'm going to end up seeing Black Panther, but that's just because I'm, like, done with Marvel movies. But, yeah, I've heard that it's great, and Michael B. Jordan is good. I liked him in Chronicle.
Yeah,
when
he was
first
great
showed up.
In that.
You can't say that he didn't put forth a great effort in... he did his best in Fantastic Four. But did you also see the meme that sparked online saying that you either die being Johnny
Storm, or you live long enough to see yourself become a badass, you know?
Or in a better Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the original Fantastic Four with Jessica Alba and everything.
You did?
I actually did like the first one. The second one was shit. I will admit the second one with Silver Surfer was shit.
No, hold on now. I enjoyed the Silver Surfer one more than the first one.
It felt... I felt like it was toned down a lot with the second one for some reason.
It was a movie for children.
Yeah,
that's
it was a
sure.
movie for children. Although it does have a great sex joke in there, which is probably one of my favorite things. It was like, I just don't want to wake up one morning and find that she died from a rock slide.
I would rather watch a movie of the take on the Fantastic Four made by the Venture Brothers. That would probably be more entertaining.
Yeah. I want to see...
Anyway... Away from Marvel movies, I guess.
Yeah. I want to see a Justice Friends film.
The Justice Helen. Friends.
The Unbreakable Kron.
Hey, Papa Pal Clam. Where's the Papa Pal's name?
I can't remember the other Papa Pal.
Papa Pal Mitch.
Papa Pal Mitch. Bug!
You have any other news, Evan?
Well, there is some interesting news about an upcoming event in Japan. Apparently a drinking event with a few of the cast and crew members of the show A Sister's All You Need.
I could see that turning real creepy real fast.
Well, the only two cast members that have been confirmed for this are the people who play, the Hashima siblings. So Chihiro and Itsuki. And everybody else, the series director, character designer, the lead animator, the setting designer... The chief editor, art direction people, and the main director as well.
Okay. Why?
So the voice actress for Nayuta is not going to be there, or any other ones.
The question about this whole event is why. And why this anime, and was it really that popular in Japan that they can actually have this kind of event?
Apparently it is pretty popular over there. Well, at least the light novel version, the main original ones, are pretty popular. Like, I personally enjoyed it. I know there are other people here on this podcast who say otherwise.
Why are you staring at me?
Why are you staring at me?
But it sounds like it could be a really fun... I mean, yeah, it could go downhill if people get really plastered and start trashing people left and right. But if done right, it could be pretty funny. Because there are, like, some variety shows in Japan that famously have their guests get completely drunk and wasted on there, and they just go off the rails, and that's the show.
Huh.
Just like that show, Takonomi.
Had that on one of their old... TV series where they stay
the Hi Hi Puffy AmiYumi show?
No, Puffy, which was the one that they had Lenny Kravitz on and a couple other people too. But they had a couple segments where they would just get completely plastered and just shoot the shit about random things. So it could be interesting.
Alright.
And that's it for news for me. I'm like, oh no, whoa, no. There is, since we're in Con Month, I feel like we should be talking about the recent Wonder Festival that just happened in Japan that showcases all these amazing Nendoroids and figurines that are going to be released very soon.
Yeah, Wonder Fest Andrew, I feel like that this would be your haven.
I would love to go to Wonderfest. I mean, I don't buy figurines as much anymore. I only buy figurines that are extra good. You know, like, I like to buy Monster Hunter figurines still, and I like to buy, you know, every once in a while I'll find a Bishojo figurine that I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, I'll get that one. But not to the degree that I collected them in college. Like, I'm to the point almost where I should probably just throw a lot of them out in the trash. That's a lot of money, but I think it'll be easier to just throw them out than sell them.
Yeah, you never know. You might be able to find sellers for it.
Possibly.
But there's some really good selections here. They have the two main girls from Yuru Camp or Laid Back Camp that are going to be made into Nendoroids.
Yeah, those are sick.
That's pretty awesome.
Did you see the Helsing Ultimate one?
Mm-hmm.
With Alucard shooting Nazis in the face.
Really?
It looks it's pretty badass. Like, it's incredibly crafted.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, it's... I mean, if I can find a link to it, I'll post it. But
I can just find it.
It's pretty awesome.
They have the two girls from Girl Last Tour. And what's really neat, too, is they actually are making the tank that they ride around in. That you could put them in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So, one that really caught my attention was actually the very first one that they showed off in on the website I'm looking at. They're making a transformer out of a Tenga.
Oh my gosh.
Gross. That doesn't like... That's not a transformer.
Is it going to be like a working Tenga?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I would be afraid. Like, I would feel bad for the poor set that's using it and be like, oh no, there's danger.
That was the descriptor I needed. Perfect. Now I have a perfect idea.
It would be awful if it turned into this.
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Jetfire Optimus Prime or Superior Optimus Prime.
Oh, look. I mean, Optimus comes from, like, root words meaning, like, optimal. So it's best. Prime means it's the best. What's the other word it added in there?
Superior.
Superior.
It's the best of the best of the best, sir, with honors.
Boy, Captain America over here.
Oh,
super
here's a
awesome good man.
Here's a close-up of the Tenga. He actually has a little old Tenga mallet, too.
He's got a Tenga hammer. That is awesome.
And a Tenga gun.
A Tenga
gun. Gun.
I don't want to know what it shoots.
Can't believe they're making a Bishojo G.I. Joe. For starters, there's already female G.I. Joes on there, but...
They're called Barbies.
You're called Barbies.
Oh, that's cool. They have set here, they're releasing Figma wedding toppers. So there's a bride and groom Figma that you can buy. So there's a male wedding topper and then a female wedding topper, and I guess you can probably swap out the accessories like a bouquet and the dress and the suit and the hair and the face. But that's a neat idea.
I want that. I don't know if I'll get that though. I'm sure that I'll find some links to send you the rest of what will be available on or from Wonderfest. Any cool statues, any cool galleries that I find, I will post it in the description. So let's talk about what we're watching.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, can I start?
Yeah.
So, I've continued to watch Death March, or, Death March that led to a parallel world or whatever it's called.
Blah yeah. March.
Yeah. And so I'm discovering how it's odd that I like it and I'm continuing to watch it just because it's strictly entertaining, but just how awful it is. It's so bad. So the last episode really put into perspective what our main character is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the episode. And then I tried to understand what happened in my head. And then I went and then I continued to read the comment section. And there's actually a lot of people who read the web novel and the light novel version of it and stuff. So apparently in the last episode that came out of the show, not episode, there's one episode that I haven't watched yet. I think it's whatever episode just came out. Episode 7. So in episode 6. In episode 6, there's a scene where they just nonchalantly like brush past it like, oh yeah, our main character went and had sex with prostitutes. And I was like, so let me get this straight. We have a 15-year-old character surrounded by a bunch of lowly girls, one of which is infatuated with him and absolutely in love with him. And our writer, whoever writes this novel or this show, is just like, yeah, our character's going to go have sex with prostitutes and it's going to be no issue. And I'm just like, what kind of hero character is that? Like, it's
Kratos.
Just like
Kratos yeah, from God of War.
And Rance.
See, well, Rance is a villain. You just play as him as the main character.
He's a hero to some people.
And I mean, like, you know, when it comes to characters like those, you're just like, haha, they're rapists, you know, like, you know, and like, whatever. But this is our main character who we're following, like, oh, he's such a nice guy. He's so great. Oh, and he solicits prostitutes when he knows people like him on a personal level. Which, to me, I'm like, I don't care. I hate this character to begin with. But to give me a new reason to hate this main character and just say how horribly written this show is, like, it's clearly written as a web novel. Like, only you could only write a web novel and pass it through, you know, as, like, I'm a fan of anime and I just want to write my own novels when you have no idea how to write a main character. You know, or, like, not a main character, but a likable main character. Let me tell you this. Likable main characters who are playing as heroes don't have sex with prostitutes. It's plain and simple. Like, that's the way you write. That's the way a story is written.
Unless your name's James Bond.
Yeah, well, or James Kratos. Bond is also James Bond is also one of the worst spies on the face of the planet, even though he's labeled as the best spy on the face of the planet. Because he walks around saying, my name is James Bond. I'm a spy. And then he shoots everybody. Great spying.
Well, that's what makes him good. When he's like, oh, crap, I just told everyone. Bang, 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 bang. No witnesses.
But yeah, that happened in the last episode. I was just, like, trying to wrap my head. Like, did that really happen? And then I found out, oh, this is a web novel series. So it was, which means it was written by a fan who has no idea how to write professionally. And so his main characters are, yeah, he's going to make a fantasy character where he gets to have sex with all the prostitutes he wants, and but he also has, like, a girl, one of the main cast girl, that likes him, and that's, like, really awkward because you're just like, oh, so this girl likes him a lot, but he's gonna go have sex with prostitutes
and get crabs.
Yeah, and not even that, but just, like, the morality of, like, and then you're gonna try to sell to us that she likes him. Like, I'm confused. You know, it's a very confusing situation as far as a main character goes. But I'm going to continue watch it because people apparently say that there's repercussions for him doing it. But I don't know how true that is. So I'll continue to go.
He's going
to
get school dazed.
Yeah. I hope so. That would be great. That would be so great.
Yeah.
Or
she's just going to look and be like, someday I'm going to be that hooker.
Yeah.
I'm going to be just like that prostitute.
Yeah, so, and I guess people in the comment section were saying, yeah, guys, he refuses to sleep with any of his slaves, so he goes and sleeps with prostitutes. I was like, oh, how moral of him. Like, people are just, like, so ridiculous. They just don't know how to write characters, and it's, I don't know. But anyway, still watching Late Back Camp, it's awesome. I caught up with Overlord, or I didn't catch up with Overlord, but I'm catching up with Overlord, and it is getting a little bit better, but there was this really awkward lizard sex scene in the middle of it, so that was hilarious.
Just his, like, reaction.
Well, his reaction is funny, but you're just like, as a viewer, you're just thinking in your head, like, this is so strange, because light novels, Japanese light novels, as much as they make fun of them being, like, these overly suggestive, overly sexualized books that draw young crowds into them because they get to read sex novels, it's becoming true through these animes because they just throw random sex scenes into them. You're just like, people in Japan are really just fans writing novels to add tons of fantasy sex scenes in these.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all it's becoming. And the more and more I watch these shows based off of light novels, the more and more true it becomes. It's fascinating.
We got to see Asuna's nipple in the last Sword Art Online movie.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, and I have this, like, headcanon in my, like, I know it's not true, it's never gonna happen, but I have this, like, headcanon where Ainz Al-Goon is, like, the more successful sibling to Skeletor from He-Man. Like, I picture, like, Skeletor at an awkward dinner with his mom, and, like, the mom being like, why can't you be like Ainz? And he just took over an entire legion kingdom, but he doesn't have He-Man to deal with all the time.
Mom, I'm trying!
He-Man there! Have you ever considered that maybe it's your fault that you're not getting through to all these people?
I am trying to beat He-Man.
I had an army of thousands, and He-Man just took his sword and slayed them all in one swipe.
I think you just made that headcanon.
Yeah. Why is Ainz Al-Goon the best, Mom?
I could be Iron Cell Goon if I didn't have He-Man.
You are doing that so much better than me.
That is my Skeletor impression, and I love doing it. Every chance I get to do Skeletor, I will do it.
Brother Iron Cell Goon, why are you doing so well?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't have some blonde, shirtless guy coming in all the time ruining my plans.
But you have sexy demons!
Point.
Oh, man.
I feel like we would have to script this out so much better.
So, anyway, to get away from the crap that's going on in light novel world and anime world. I do want to mention that the last episode of the Junji Ito collection was probably one of the best ones.
Okay, so which one are you talking about?
Okay, well, no, okay, because the last episode was Town with No Roads, correct?
No, the last one was with the girl with amnesia that's about to marry the guy, and the guy's, like, family has, like, this weird mystery, and it's...
No, okay.
50 so, first dates?
No. So episode 8 just came out. The episode 7 before that was the Town with No Roads.
Oh, yeah, that one was really good.
And then the
good.
Episode before that was the weird next-door neighbor and the family ancestor ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those episodes, those were
so
really good.
Yeah, episode 6 was I love that was the best episode of Junji Ito collection so far. Cuz those were a few of my favorite Junji Ito stories because it not only shows you how good of a horror writer he is, but how good of a writer he is in general. Especially with stories that he writes like The Long Dream, which is one of my favorites by Junji Ito. The only problem I'm having with Junji Ito collection is they cut out so much. Because I've read most of these stories. And especially A Town Without Roads. A Town Without Roads is really, really long and well written. So the Dean animation version of it that we got with Junji Ito collection cut out so much vital information. They kind of basically give you the Cliff Notes version of Junji Ito stories.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing.
Which it still works, but I highly recommend after you watch the Junji Ito collection version, if you haven't read it, go read it afterwards because it's so amazing.
Yeah, because I have thoughts on the most recent one that they did. I mean, they had one that the first one that they had was pretty good, but then there was a second one. Do you mind if I say the title of it in case you haven't seen it yet?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So the second story that they adapted in the most recent one was The Circus Is in Town.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
But have you read the story?
I don't remember. I think Honored Ancestors, which is the first half of that, I think I've read that one, but I don't think I've read Circus Comes to
Town. Okay, because I don't know how it was presented in the original manga version of it, but this anime adaptation just had me laughing my ass off more than creep me out.
Hmm. He does have
basically everything that could happen wrong in a circus happens in this episode, and it just made me laugh harder than probably the show is trying to make you do.
No, Junji Ito does have a few black comedy stories, but it's mostly to be disturbing and funny at the same time.
Yeah, I wasn't disturbed. I was more laughing at, ha, those three guys fell off the tightrope. Ha, that guy got eaten by a lion. Ha, ha, guy got stabbed.
Yeah, so I do want to tell everybody that because Junji Ito collection isn't a canonical story-based thing, it's just short stories, everybody should watch episode 6, because episode 6 was the greatest episode of Junji Ito collection ever, because it's some of his best stories. Now, what I want to talk about is not what I'm watching, but this is super important to tell fans, because so I have a story. Because I have a huge presence on Instagram, like I'm always on Instagram. Instagram, I think, is the best social media outlet we can have as far as, you know, pictures and art and all that stuff goes. And I love using it. Well, I follow Viz Media on Instagram, so I get like short updates from them and little things that they want to sell me. And one of the things that they were trying to sell me a while ago was a manga that was coming out called The Promised Neverland.
Yes, I've heard a lot about this.
So I bought the first two volumes, which are, there's two volumes out of The Promised Neverland out right now, and I finished them so that I could talk about it specifically on the podcast. Because The Promised Neverland is probably one of the best Shonen Jump stories I have ever read. And I say Shonen Jump specifically because I almost didn't think, like, when as I'm reading it, I'm like, there's no way this fits into the Shonen Jump mold. Because it's not a, it's not like a shonen-y book. It's a wonderful, creepy, like, post-apocalyptic, like, you don't know what it's supposed to be, because the first issue, or the first chapter, gives you this little twist in it. So it's about an orphanage, and it's like a happy-go-lucky living with mom orphanage, where mom loves everybody, and takes care of everybody really well, but they have to take tests every day, and, you know, to give their smartness scores and whatever. And then something happens that turns the whole story on its head in the first chapter, and you're just like, good God. And I don't want to spoil it because I really, truly, truly want people to read it. I promise you, the Promised Neverland is absolutely amazing. To the point where, so Viz Media is really good about their releases. They release a new manga volume every other month. So the second volume just came out recently. And Amazon already has volumes 3 through 5 set up for pre-order. And I've already pre-ordered them all. So April releases volume 3. June releases volume 4. And August releases volume 5. And I've already got all of them already on their way coming to me as soon as they get released. Because it is just the best thing I've ever read as far as a Viz Shonen manga. It's now, so good.
Let me ask you, because odds are, because a lot of people have been talking about this manga, and a lot of people have been praising it, and odds are it is going to get an anime adaptation somewhere down the line. Who do you think should animate this?
Nobody. That is truly my answer. I truly think that this should stay a manga, that I think animation might ruin it, because it's going to be so difficult to get right with, especially with, so the artist is a really, really unique artist. His name is Posuka Demizu, and he's got like an art book out there and a whole bunch of stuff that you get, but his art style is so unique, and I don't know if animation will do it justice, especially because so many interesting things happen with it. And I would don't get me wrong, I would love to see it in an animation form just to see how they do it, but reading the manga is so good. You know what I mean?
Yep. I'm yes. going to assume so. Yeah.
But if I had to choose a studio to animate it, I can see maybe JC Staff or Madhouse. I think Madhouse should animate it. Madhouse should animate it.
Because the way you're describing it, it makes it sound like something that... I'm not totally comparing it, but it sounds like something that Clamp would create. And Madhouse usually is like the go-to place for Clamp adaptations.
Kinda, but Clamp doesn't do a lot of shonen. So I just think because of the unique animation and because Madhouse does so many different animation and art styles, that this would be something for them to figure out. Things like, you know, there's certain studios like A1 that, you know, they stick to their, we like to do fan service, and there's Dogakoba, we like to stick to Moe, and, you know, that just don't fit the mold. Mm-hmm. So, and I just don't know, man. I just recommend everybody needs to read this. It's one of the best mangas I've ever read.
I'm going to have to steal from you then.
Yeah, oh no, I totally plan on letting you read it. I got Victor reading it as well, and he read the first chapter and he's like, I guessed half of it, but whoa, you know, like he was reading it and he was like, I knew something was going to happen in this way, but I didn't expect this to happen. Oh, and that's another thing. is as you keep reading the story, it's not like these massive twists keep coming out to you. Like, it's not like you'll read a chapter and then two chapters later you're like, oh my gosh, that blew my mind. It's more or less a story that constantly progresses as these characters start to play chess with one another, even though they don't know they're playing chess with one another. And as you turn the page, you're like, oh man, that's crazy. Then you turn again. Oh man, that's crazy. Turn again. Oh man, that's crazy. So they slowly and subtly give you these things where characters are slowly one-upping each other throughout the entire story. And it's awesome. I love it.
Though I have to say that I can't necessarily believe you saying it's the greatest Shonen Jump story that you've ever read when My Hero Academia is still running pretty strong.
Well, and that's why I didn't think it fit the Shonen Jump mold. That's why I said that. Is because, you know, sure, like, Shonen Jumps are amazing for Shonen. Like, Naruto. I have all of Naruto, and we have all of My Hero Academia, all these manga things, you know, that we have. And then I have this, The Promised Neverland, released by Viz Media, and it's a Shonen Jump manga. And I'm like, why is this a Shonen Jump manga? It's not a Shonen. I mean, I guess it could be a Shonen, but, you know, it's just different. I love it.
So, Evan, you have a What We're Watching. I know that you've been watching something.
Yeah, well, recently Netflix had released the live-action version of Fullmetal Alchemist.
And I meant to spend every moment of my time watching it so that I could have seen it too, but I did not.
Okay, so for what they had to do with, like, turning, 120 chapters into a 2.5-hour movie, I mean, they had what they were working with. With that being said, I actually thought it was really good.
Huh.
Okay, first question, is it original storyline or Brotherhood storyline?
For the most part, I would say it's Brotherhood storyline, but they make some liberties that they have to take within having a 2.5-hour film. Like, for example, they took I don't want to call him a minor villain, because he is probably one of the most memorable, like, what-the-fuck kind of villains that was featured in Fullmetal Alchemist, but he's only in there for a couple of chapters. But they make him, like, basically the main villain in this movie.
Huh. Which one?
Yeah.
Show Tucker.
Really? Show Tucker?
What a great response.
I still have images of Nina in my head, so yep. I will forever hate that man.
Which is why I'm actually kind of happy that they expanded his role just a little bit.
And no, he needs to die and he needs to burn in hell.
Well, he does. Well.
Oh no, the one who dies in the original also dies in the movie. Spoiler alert.
Well, he does die. But
good.
Yes. But they give you more of a reason to hate him. More of a reason to hate him in this movie.
Wow.
Wow.
I just love the memes that are like, what sound does the cow make? Moo. Moo. What sound does the duck make?
Quack. Quack.
What sound does the dog make?
Edward.
Fuck Show Tucker. Fuck Show Tucker. I'm done.
No, but there's been a lot of really mixed reviews about it.
There is a lot of mixed reviews, and I do understand why some people will not like this movie. With that being said, I personally, from what I took of it, I really enjoyed it. I felt what they were able to do with the story was pretty good. Now, mind you, the majority of the movie isn't as action-packed as the anime. I would say, like, the beginning and the end has the majority of the action of this film. This adaptation of Fullmetal Alchemist does a great job with taking this story and turning it into an alternate history period drama.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because the majority of the film is more about them trying to figure out the mystery of the Philosopher's Stone and how it works and if whether or not Ed will be able to save Al from, you know, being in an armored body.
Yep.
That's what the majority of the movie is about. There isn't those sort of like epic fights that occur until near the end where you see I don't can't remember if he was an actual character or if he's just a stand-in for King Bradley in the film, but he like unleashes these like zombie sort of like clone characters from the Philosopher's Stone, from all the ones that they craft into it. And it's a really cool sequence. I wouldn't say it's on par with anything that appeared in the anime, but with what they were what they had to work with, especially when it comes to the CGI, it was really good. Like, it was near, I know we talked about it earlier, but it was near Marvel Cinematic Universe quality of CGI that they had, especially with Al.
Yeah.
Like, with that armored suit and body, there were times where it actually looked like he was standing there. It wasn't just a computer-generated character. He was right there that whole time.
Yeah. Well, I have that one in my queue as well, and hopefully in the next episode I'll be able to share my opinions on it too.
All right. You're probably going to say, it was absolute shit. I hated it. What were you thinking, Evan?
And then we'll have a great back and forth.
Exactly, which we didn't quite have.
This is what I was hoping that would happen on this episode, but I was lazy, so.
Okay. But other than that, I'm still watching Laid Back Camp, which is still excellent. Karakai Jozo no Takagi-san, which I just wrote a review for on the Boston Bash Brigade page, has like stolen my heart because there's this level of sweetness that's in that show that, I don't know, it just feels so endearing. Even with like the tease, like I say in a review, there is teasing, but it's not about the teasing. It's about what the teasing is leading towards, and that's this relationship between Nishikata and Takagi-san.
Mm.
I think it's a very fun show.
Yeah. I really liked the last episode where she actually told him, like, I like you, but then she played it off like she was teasing him.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, so she's actually been telling him her true feelings the entire time, but then she just plays it off like she's teasing him, and he doesn't know what to think.
Yeah, there's that sort of, like, there's that cuteness aspect to it.
Wayman.
Exactly.
I'll say, like, the most recent one after that where he, you know, he loses a bet with her, and so he's forced into helping her pick out a swimsuit, has this really cute vibe, like this embarrassing sort of aspect. And it's not thankfully it's not fan service-y at all, thankfully, but it's presented in such a cute way that it's like this sort of, there's like this realism that occurs between the two of them when there's a situation where he's about to see or experience something that he hasn't experienced before.
Yep.
So I'm still watching that. How to Keep a Mummy has just been my soul food.
I'm back on top with that. It's great. Yep. It's just wonderful, sugary sweet.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Parents, you should be showing your kids. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, this is the show parents should be showing their kids. I think it's like one of like the best like family friendly shows of the season.
Mm.
And yes, I'm still watching Miss Koizumi Loves Ramen Noodles because I have no idea why. I'm thinking it might be because I need something to fill my porn. food porn need before Food Wars comes back.
I've got some weird fetishes.
That was a bit of a Freudian nipple there.
You have no idea. And you will have no idea if that was a joke or not. But anyways, yes, I'm still watching that.
Yep. Mine's quick, because Evan gave me a video game, and I'm one of those people who, unfortunately, when they get a video game, they need to complete it before they can set it down. And I had to force myself to finish the storyline to Elder Scrolls Online before I could justify never playing it again. And so I've finally done that, and now I can at least rest easy there. So I will be playing catch-up mode for now.
I'm not watching anything new.
Yeah.
Everybody else is already.
Oh, I thought I had the quick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still have your homework of having to watch Miss Kobayashi.
Yes, that's true. I want to actually get caught up with Junji Ito, Laid Back Camp, and oh my god, Babysitter Club.
Babysitter Club's been good.
School Babysitters.
School
has been
Babysitters.
Very good.
Yes.
Yeah. School Babysitters is fantastic.
Yes.
I love how in the last couple episodes where the big brother gets his hand slapped away and like, or he gets like turned down or someone says he doesn't like him. And the little brother was like, But he's the best big brother ever. How can you not like him?
Yeah.
It's such a cute show.
It's good.
All right. Let's move on to our topic for today, which is our first Con Mon topic of the year, where we are going to be discussing unconventional conventions. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be presenting a, especially to Derek, because he doesn't know really any conventions whatsoever. We've got a series of conventions that are real and a series of conventions that are not real. And Derek in part, we're all going to be trying to figure this out together, but Derek in part is going to be trying to figure out which conventions are actually not conventions.
I got this.
Okay.
I got this.
So are we going to do like, we give him a group of three conventions, one of them's not real, and he needs to figure out which one that is?
Correct.
Okay.
For starters, and then we're going to start talking about some conventions that actually are real and strange, and we can go into greater detail as to which ones are not. Okay. Do you want to go first, Evan?
All right, because I just wanted to make sure that the one that I created didn't really exist, because...
Yeah, that's what you have to do, because it's really
and
hard.
And I just Googled it, and I'm like, okay, cool. This first convention, and like the website that I'm using for these ones is for Business Insider, with a article called "These Are the Strangest Conventions in America."
Oh, it's limited to America. I feel like you could have gotten so much better, like worldwide.
Well, this covers like North America, so this is like Canada, United States, and Mexico. So the first one that I have here is called the Association of Lincoln Presenters.
Association of Lincoln Presenters.
At this Lincoln convention in Columbus, Ohio, not Lincoln, Nevada or Lincoln, Nebraska, like where should it be.
Where it would be appropriate.
Yep. Over 150 people come dressed as Abraham Lincoln. And these are groups of goal, and the group is to provide real-looking Lincolns to reenact in parades and reenactments and schools and in various other things.
Okay. All right, what's my next option here?
So your next one is called Saskatchewan, which is Saskatchewan's number one Bigfoot and mysterious monster convention.
Oh my god. I want to go.
And, you know, it's not just about Bigfoot, so it's also about, like, unknown monsters, like the Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, and,
like... Oh, yeah, we got all kinds of squatches up here.
Squatches love donuts.
And then the last one I have here is the World Clown Association, an annual gathering where clowns show up to present their makeup skills, their body movements, and their sorts of physical comedy that they learned so much about.
What was the name of it?
It was the World Clown Association.
I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be called Gathering of the Juggalos.
So much Faygo.
Okay, so if I have to guess between those three, I really, really want Sasquatchicon to be real, or whatever it's supposed to be called. Number one, I actually knew a Ben Franklin impersonator when I was younger, and they get like really into it, so I could actually see that con being real. So I'm gonna go with the clown one, because the real one is the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Saskatchewan does not exist.
Damn it!
Sasquatchicon. Sasquatchicon, I meant to say.
All right. I should have figured it out when you said Saskatchewan the first time. Oh, yeah, Saskatchewan and Michelle Kwan. That's all it is.
All right, so here's mine. So, the Lizards Convention. The convention, a gathering of people who really admire reptiles and frogs and anything of the amphibious or lizard type. Anything cold-blooded is here presented at the show, and, you know, they have presenters talking about, and, like, wildlife preserve people, everything like that. Lizards Convention. Second one, the Sunshine State Egg Fest. Now, take a guess as to what the Sunshine State Egg Fest is about.
Abortions.
Whoa!
thanks.
No. So, okay. So people would think right off the bat that Sunshine State Egg Fest is actually about eggs and egg cooking of the type, but it's actually about a certain kind of egg-shaped grill. It's a green grill done that is out west, and the grill itself is actually egg-shaped, so it's about the grill itself, not eggs. And finally, Merfest, a gathering of people who are obsessed with mermaids and can dress up like mermaids and swim like mermaids.
Oh, God. Oh, and the first one was again?
The Lizards Convention.
I'm going to have to go with Lizards Convention because it didn't mention anything about government conspiracies in the description.
You are correct. Lizards.
Yes!
The Lizards Convention is actually a children's pop group from 1995.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Oh my God, I have to interject. That's wrong. There is a Lizards Convention.
There is. It was either that or BayCon. I couldn't come up with one.
One of my friends from college went to a lizard convention. She posted all about it on her Facebook.
Oh, no!
We all lose!
That's so false propaganda spread by the fake lizard people.
Yeah. You would really love a segment that they do on Nerdy Show's flagship show, which is called Scale Watchers, where they pretend to play redneck characters and they talk about them lizard men.
Oh my God,
it's fantastic. It's wonderful. Like,
I don't know,
Scale Watchers is one of the best things.
I'm a fan of underground radio myself, so.
Yeah, underground radio is really good, which is the lizard men broadcasting their show to the world.
Well, even though Jonathan cheated on that one, I still even won by his cheating standards, so I'm 1-1 here. There we go.
Okay, so we have Marble Collectors Society of America, and it is a traveling convention that is all for people who love collecting marbles. They have a lot of shows coming up in 2018, and it says a listing of upcoming marble shows that have been pretty attributed, blah, 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 marbles. Next in my list is Marxism 2018, which is a convention about being a Marxist and socialism. And they have speakers and radical reels and everything that you can imagine Marxism comes with. Last one is Bath Salt convention, where it's a convention about bath salts and, you know, how you can make easy do-it-yourself bath salts. You can, let's see, you can craft from citrus flavors all the way to luscious soaps and lotions, and it's a big DIY and enthusiast convention for bath salts. Now, we have marble collection, Marxism, and bath salts. Which convention is real and fake?
Okay. Marble collectors have nothing better to do than to go on a traveling tour of marble collections. That one is real. Remind me of number two.
Marxism, 2018.
Oh God, yes, that is real. I've got a couple of people in my Facebook feed who will throw Marxist propaganda, and they have meetings every other week. I'm like, I'm just friends with you because we're from high school, but... number three sounds like a DIY meth lab, because bath salts are usually used or have been habitually used for hallucinations where people have been eating each other's faces off. So I'm going to go ahead and say that a bath salt convention probably is not real.
Where you're talking about the wrong kind of bath salts, like the drug-inducing bath salts, I was talking about the lotion and actual bathing use for bath salts.
Same thing.
But
Andrew,
you are... What?
They're the same thing.
Exact no, same not. Thing.
No,
people
there's
get
actually,
high off that.
There's actually two different kinds of bath salts. But anyway, you are correct. I was reading the bath salt information off of Pinterest. Okay. So the Marxism 2018 one is in Melbourne, Massachusetts.
What?
On Anime Boston Weekend.
I'm pretty sure my freaking Facebook friends probably go into that.
Yes, Easter weekend, March 29th to April 1st, Melbourne, Massachusetts. hosted by Socialist Alternative.
So let's take a look at some other conventions that that people have found weird.
That was pretty fun, though. I like that.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. Absolutely.
I really liked your Sasquatchicon.
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 Sasquatchicon. Frostspear, get on that.
I know, yeah. Now we just need it to be in Saskatchewan. Like, Saskatchewan Sasquatchicon. Like, it would be so great.
That's going to be the name of this episode.
So, there have been plenty of other... So, I found a lot of my weird cons from this article from The Chive, but it appears that any article that you go to that talks about weird conventions, they're all from the same place. Like, they're all from the same resource because they all have the same list, just in different orders. Mine from The Chive was very demeaning and very, like, not accepting, and it's just like, these people are weird. Because the first one that was on there was AnthroCon, which I'm pretty sure is on everybody's list. And then, like, I'm... being a part of Wicked Anime has made me very tolerable to anybody who likes anything that they want to like. And I've come to, you know... I used to have a really big problem with furries because I was very insecure about that sort of thing. But now I'm, like, totally cool with furries. I have a ton of friends who are furries.
Same here.
You know, people who understand furry culture. And I'm not a furry, but I'm totally cool with you if you're a furry. But it seems like this Chive article is just like, yeah, whatever floats your boat, dude. Whatever. So, I don't know. Now, the Association of Lincoln Presenters, I knew that one was real because I had read that one earlier in a list, and it was everywhere. And so this is also where I got the Sunshine State Egg Fest from.
Yep, I'm looking at that one right here.
That sounded way too specific to not be real.
They have a sideshow convention.
The other thing here was the BronyCon. BronyCon is on everybody's list too, but being a brony is like...
It's almost mainstream.
Yeah, it's a mainstream thing, but it's on everybody's list saying like, oh, look at all these grown-ass men, you know, and women going to BronyCon because it's based off of a children's TV show for girls. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, they even have Lego World listed as a strange convention.
Yeah, right.
Here's a good one. This is the Office convention that's actually in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. See, that one makes sense though.
There we go.
The Lebowski Fest, of course.
Yeah. Here's one of my favorites that I came across. Blobfest, which is to an entire weekend in Pennsylvania. There's Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, the Colonial Theater, for three entire days plays nothing but Steve McQueen's The Blob.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's a three-day B-movie convention where that's all they do is just watch The Blob for 3 days.
I love Steve McQueen, man. Like, oh, it's so sad that he died because he could have been one of the best actors on the face of the planet.
Agreed. Could you imagine old man Steve McQueen still doing movies today?
Oh yeah. My gosh.
He could have been John Wick.
I promise you, if Steve McQueen hadn't passed away, Liam Neeson would not have a job.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to The Blob.
Because
30 years old playing a high school student.
Well, because not only was Steve McQueen a Liam Neeson-like character, before Liam Neeson was Liam Neeson, but Steve McQueen also did his own motorcycle and car stunts. So there's, like, no competing with that.
Or if you want to get to a more serious movie here, we can go to TwiCon in Dallas, Texas.
Is that still happening? I imagine that would be...
I believe by 2016 it still was. I'm not sure how up to date this is. But I love how it's held in Dallas, Texas. So you have to get all that friggin' black makeup and everything on and all the black leather and stuff, get all suited up, and then go to one of the friggin' hottest places in the country.
And then die.
It's a trap to get rid of Twilight fans, and I hope it's working.
Also put on them fursuits, too.
Yep.
For the werewolf and characters. Musical guest, we have My Chemical Romance.
Psych, they're still broken up. Oh, look how moody you are. That's like perfect. That fits with the acting in the movie. Well, there's also Ted Fest. Not Ted Talk, but there's Ted Fest, which is held in Inishmore, Ireland, surrounding the popular British sitcom Father Ted.
Really?
Yes.
That is strange.
See, I think it's so strange how in our community, we have anime conventions. And even people, it's just like, oh, I like Comic-Cons because it's movies, animation, anime, sci-fi, whatever, comic books. And I actually don't like that. I think it's too much of a mix. But whenever you think convention, you usually think that kind of stuff first. And the fact that we could take a piece of that, just anime, and make an entire convention out of just anime, I feel like people would be like, oh man, that's a really specific genre and a very specific con. But to be like, I like TV, and then like take a specific TV show like The Office or Ted or any of these things and make an entire convention out of just one TV show, never mind one genre, one TV show, and make a convention out of it is just fascinating.
Absolutely.
Is that like a one-day con, or is it
nope,
a whole weekend?
It's a whole weekend of events, where they talk about, where they have cocktail events, they talk about the best episode, they have crazy golf based on the episode, entertaining Father Stone, hide a nun and seek games, a song for Europe, which is a which they have to write songs based off of Father Ted, which, and it's a contest, and it's based off the Song for Europe episode. They also have the Toilet Duck Comedy Awards, which they award for, like, I believe that's, like, for, like, best, like, stand-up that they host during that event, and whoever wins gets this award. But it's all surrounding this British sitcom, Father Ted, which if no one's watched it, you need to. It is one of the funniest shows ever made. It was the show that the creator of the IT Crowd made before before he made IT Crowd. And yeah. I think before Black Books as well, which is another great sitcom he helped out with.
Yeah. See, this one right here that I found sounds like a fake one that I probably should have put into mine. Twins Day Festival, which would have been appropriate for me to throw in there. But it's held in Twinsburg, Ohio, and over 3,000 sets of twins gather every year. It's been running for 40 years.
There's just some, like, really old, perverted mayor sitting there, be like, I know how to get them to come to me. Give me a petition to change the name of the town.
This one, it would be awful. Just Vent Haven's Convention for Ventriloquists. It's like a gathering of all ventriloquists, and it's...
It'd be so awkward, I'd hyperventilate. I'll just go there without a dummy and just wear a t-shirt that says, I can see your lips moving.
It's just a convention of a bunch of people walking around saying, hey, who said that? Hey, who said that? Hey, who said that?
Oh, you could always go to Alcon.
Yeah, the Weird Al convention.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess the last one was in 2003.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, you need more Weird Al. I mean, he's had albums since then. Where's the Al love been?
Yeah, well, he's been going to, like, real conventions and stuff like that. So he probably didn't want to, like, fund it anymore, so...
I don't even imagine if you have to fund a fan convention for yourself. Hey guys, come to the Weird Al fan convention. I'm Weird Al.
But you already knew that because you're here.
It'd be like a Guy Fieri starting his own convention. The Fieri Con.
Chicken Dinner Con.
Flavortown Con.
Oh god.
It would be called Flavortown Con. Flavortown.
Flavor Con.
So there was one that took place at MIT that hasn't happened since 2012 called RaffleCon, which was a meme convention. And they got people like Tron Guy, Leroy Jenkins, and Keyboard Cat to... Or the man responsible for
Keyboard
Cat.
Well, I think the reason why it stopped is because MIT realized we're smarter than any of this shit.
I don't know, man.
When your celebrity guest is the guy yelling Leroy Jenkins...
You know, how much of the bottom of the barrel are you scraping?
Couldn't get Tay's on day.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Just get Nicolas Cage. Just have him stand there. He doesn't even have to do anything.
Cage Con.
This. This one doesn't surprise me at all, though. A sideshow convention. Like, why would that be weird? I feel like that would be something that a ton of people would be interested in going to.
It's like a circus with no main act.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no main hall for the convention. Everything's a side hall convention.
I don't know. There's not really any point here, but I mean, that guy's running a panel down there. We got this happening around the corner. We got
25 cents each.
See, for $1, see the eating swordsman.
The last one that I want to highlight before we go is the World Summit Toilet Convention.
Taiwan? Where is it?
Is that where it is? It's like...
I saw that
one. It's like Taiwan or Hong Kong. It's an Asian country. But yeah.
If it's in Taiwan, it's just a convention of them being like, now remember, don't flush the paper down the toilet.
Yeah. It's just a convention of people just constantly pooping because of the food that they serve there.
I mean, you could say the con's pretty regular, but it gets kind of crappy at times.
Wow. Da 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 da. Woo!
Like here late at night, it gets a little nutty.
So, is there actually any description of the Summit Toilet Convention?
Yeah, the Summit started in 2001 at a time when toilets and sanitation remained low on the global agenda. So this is a political stance.
They're literally showing people toilets and being like, this is what you're supposed to shit in.
Billions in the world have no access to proper sanitation. Meanwhile, decision makers lacked education, technical expertise, and platforms collaboration towards the improvement of conditions. The summit started in Singapore. Singapore is where it was first inaugurated on the 19th of November in 2001. Since then, we have successfully organized 15 world toilet summits around the world. The closest it's ever been to us is Philadelphia. But it has been in Taipei, Taiwan. I refuse to laugh at that, Evan.
Oh, Kanemaru Matsuri Festival.
Oh, yes, the penis festival in Japan.
How can we forget about that one?
Oh my god, that's like one of the staples in old school anime comedy.
Oh, also that I just saw a giant pink penis on my phone.
Yeah. You know, well, here's the thing about this.
Wait a minute, am I in Evan's files?
No. Here's the thing, here's my complaint about this. They have all these shrines for the penis, but they don't have a shrine for the vagina.
Yeah, it's because that it's actually more illegal for that.
Which sucks.
Yeah, well, which is...
The guy does his thing, but okay, I'm all set. And then for 9 months, the woman's gotta be there to have the baby grow inside her.
Well, blame biology.
And push it out afterwards.
Blame biology. Either way. The temple is run by a female, so... it's not like she's like, I'm gonna change it from a penis temple to a vagina temple. Like, she doesn't care. Like, that's the thing. Nobody cares.
Nope. Especially in Japan. There's been that one particular artist who has been, like, making, like, she...
The vagina canoe.
Yeah, that. And then she also has Manko-chan, who is the mascot for all of her stuff.
Yes.
And, like, but she's been arrested multiple times for her indecent, like, products.
Right. Which... is weird considering I've actually walked by a sex shop in Shibuya and they have all the dildos right there for everyone to see.
Yep.
Oh, well, there's like penis plushies everywhere. Like,
that too.
You can find like little penis plushies that have like different kinds of helmets on and hats and like, it's just weird. But yeah, they're everywhere. You know. Mm-hmm. I guess it's, you know, a penis just isn't as
offensive.
Isn't as offensive as a vagina is. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Well.
Certainly not as appealing, though. That's...
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe it's just like, ooh, Manko is pretty appealing there. It's kind of arousing me. Penis, not so much. You know, so that's why they can show it off.
That's the whole thing about it, is that for us guys, it's always comical. For women, it's always sexual. There's two different connotations between the two. We're getting into a political discussion that we're not even like that. The point is that there's a festival in Japan where they parade a giant penis through. Yes.
They do sell vagina pops though.
At the festival?
Yes, at the festival.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the festival, they sell edible vaginas.
Yes, they do.
Yes. Fantastic. So maybe they're making slow progress.
Maybe they're.
I don't know if I would really consider this a convention though, and I wouldn't really count it in the convention circuit because it's just like a festival that happens over the course of a day.
But it's still fun to talk about nonetheless.
Anyways, let's move on to some fan service. Which I don't. Do we have any?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I gotta check out. One thing,
I could show some skin. That could be fan service.
But now we have this new opportunity that's been presented with us by our new distributor, Cabana. And I know that I talked about it a lot on the last episode, and we're going to be running ads. Now, I want to say to everybody who might be a little shaky on this still, you as fans are still the number one support for us. Patreon is still going to be the most consistent way that the Nerdy Show Network is going to make its money. And, you know, one-time donations, all those sorts of things. It's all up to you. Because if we did not have you as fans, we wouldn't exist. So subscribing and funding us on Patreon, even a dollar, gets you a ton of content. You know, leaving us a review on iTunes still does a whole heck of a lot for us. And we'll be sure to read any reviews that you leave us. Podchasers, you know, we're doing pretty well on there. That being said, we do have one email from our wicked fan across the ocean, Scott from the UK. He was weighing in on the whole Logan Paul thing. This is based on the last couple episodes that we released. Remember when we were talking about the whole Logan Paul thing and him being in Japan? He was fully taken off now, I guess. I guess he was completely demonetized since he thought that electrocuting a dead rat was funny on YouTube, and now he's not there anymore.
And this was after he released his his apology video, two, a charity video about suicide prevention. So like he had two serious, or I don't know if the apology was serious or just, you know, for his, we don't know. But after that, he released a video that was actually really kind of good about suicide prevention. And like he did interviews with people who are suicide survivors, and now they have a new outlook on life and a charity that you can send money to. And then he tries to tase a rat. It's like, what?
Yeah, gotta make that YouTube money.
It's just doubling down on BS.
Logan Paul / store. Let's dab on the haters.
Let's take this really serious moment to talk about stuff that affects our community. And also, let's tase this fucking rat. What?
So, I hear that you survived suicide. Is that a taser?
So anyways, but what Scott was saying was that it seems like the way that Andrew, the way that you were describing Japanese culture is also the same way that British culture works, where it's talking about like silently just kind of blacklisting people out of hatred and disrespect. I don't know if that's true, if I'm putting that in the right word, Scott, but please be sure to let me know. But anyways, he was saying that British culture is similar to the way that we were describing Japanese culture on that episode. He's also, for the 2018 season, been watching Michirineko, which is a short about a cat marching band. It was based on a short from a few years ago, and now there's a series on it. Devilman Crybaby, he said that the reaction that he got from it was the same way that he felt after watching Mother, that I still have not seen yet. The movie Mother?
I heard So I have a friend who saw the movie, and he said it like emotionally disturbed him, like it like affected him greatly because of a lot of the abuse that he had as a young person.
Yeah.
So it's definitely apparently a movie that if you had been like physically or emotionally abused in any way, like medically abused, like by like a family member or a friend or something like that, you should not watch this movie.
Well, Devilman Crybaby scarred me for 4 days. I kept track of how long I was depressed over Devilman Crybaby, and it was 4 days. So. Yeah.
Now, Scott also wanted to express that he's guessing that we disagree on Pop Team Epic, because he's very much into it and meme culture and stuff like that. It's a fast show. It reminds him of the shows that were on at 1 a.m. on Adult Swim and everything like that. Now, Pop Team Epic does have an interesting story behind it. It's a whole bunch of animators who are given the chance, who have only worked in commercials and stuff like that in the past. This is their opportunity to jump out and do something funny. You know, and...
Yeah. But the problem is, it's not funny. Like, I tried. Like, I go back, I see people posting clips from the show, and I try to watch them. And, like, 95% of the time, I'm looking at the screen, I'm like... That was not good.
So, then he also wanted to say that because we mentioned Suicide Club on the last episode, that he wanted to point us in the direction of this director's other movie called Love Exposure, and he posted the trailer for us to watch it.
Which I actually wrote a review of another film that he recently did called Anti-Porno.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Which is a really... It's a really messed up movie, but it's really good, and it dives into like social commentaries and makes you start to wonder whether or not that this woman is just a really terrible person, so bad that she might as well be starring in a porno movie, or she literally is filming a porno film and is just like the complete polar opposite of what her character is that she's filming as compared to who she truly is.
Right. And he said for this one, he said, it's a four-hour movie.
What?
And it covers things like love, family, lust, religion, and the art of upskirt photography.
Is there an intermission?
Yeah, it's called the pause button. Yeah. We don't live in the Stone Age anymore. All right, thank you, Scott. Thank you for keeping us up to date. And that's really all we have for fan service this week. We don't really have anything else, so let's move on to some shameless plugs. Andrew?
Okay. Well, if you guys want to tell us about any weird conventions that you may have come across, or you just want to ask us more about Anime Boston and upcoming conventions that we're going to, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can, of course, find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post news, updates, convention crawls, and all that good stuff that comes with Wicked Anime. We're always on Facebook, aren't we, guys? You can, of course, find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you may already be listening to this podcast. If you're not listening to this podcast, on iTunes or SoundCloud/wickedanime, or, of course, Podchasers and Stitcher, or wherever else you can find podcasting and the works. You can also find our videos at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, but you can also find our videos, of course, at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can hit that subscribe button and subscribe to us whenever we seem to frequently release videos, right? Super frequently. You can, of course, find us over at the social medias. You can find us at twitch.tv/wickedanimeplay. Whatever it is, you can find us at tweet us at Yo Wicked Anime. That's tweet at Yo Wicked Anime. And of course, we have Tumblr and all the other kind of wicked anime stuff where you can find us for Wicked Anime.
For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or are a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at TheBastards@BostonBastardBrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and also on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh, and don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. And we should make by the time that this airs, it will have missed, but hopefully by the time this airs, we will have met Andrew WK.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
And I'm Elite Four Derek. You can follow me on Twitter at Elite Four Derek, or on Instagram at Elite Four Derek. You can also find me in the middle of the Falskar mod as I try to eclipse hour number 4,000 in Skyrim after I am finally done playing Elder Scrolls Online and just want to get back to the Elder Scrolls games that I love.
Excellent. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this episode, our first episode of Con Month of 2018. We'll see you in the next episode when we're going to talk about more Con-y stuff. And it's time to sign off the only way we know how. K-bye!
Bunch of trees and maybe something moving.
Oh yeah, it's a Saskatchewan. That's not how you say it.
Say Saskatchewan. Sasquatchacon five times fast.
I want scotch. Scotch, scotch, scotchy, scotch, scotch. Where's Scotchcon?
Sasquatchacon, 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 Sasquatchacon.
Scotch tape.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.